This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Lulu and Michael podcast for all the bits you missed
from Joy 94.9.
Dirtiest movie of the 21st century is about to get a sequel.
50 Shades Darker.
I'm just going to stand there gawking.
Yes. And they're also filming it in virtual reality. Imagine being able to touch and smell everything.
They look a bit sort of like...
A little bit naughty.
Exactly right.
Imagine Lulu and Michael in virtual reality.
One big old stiff.
On Joy.
What?
Oh, that's a bit rude.
Who did that?
Yeah.
I don't remember doing that promo.
Just been very busy, haven't you? You just make these little idents and promos and stuff. Well, what about that, though? I didn't even watch the original one of 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, I did. I went
did
to
see
it.
Did you read the book?
Of course not.
Yeah.
I don't read books.
No.
I actually think I started to read the book and it was so badly written that I didn't keep reading it.
Yeah, no.
But I did see the movie and it was terrible.
Mm.
So I am surprised they're doing another one.
Yeah.
And I just think, because they're saying, oh, it was a box office smash or whatever, but I think that was because everyone liked the book and they went and saw the movie.
Yes, I believe that would be right.
But the movie was crap, so they probably won't go and see the next
one. I wonder.
Or will they?
I don't know.
I may be wrong.
Well, I mean, but why do we need a virtual reality whatever about it?
Yeah, see, the thing is, I think the people going to see the movie... is like most people that go to see movies in general are women in groups, which is the general consensus of moviegoers in general, because if you do your research like I do when you're a screenwriter.
Right.
And I don't know that women are going to sit at home and play virtual reality games.
No.
So,
no.
Not sure that this will be a one that'll...
Maybe it'll be a flop.
The virtual reality game, maybe.
Yeah.
Not... A floppy one.
A floppy won't be a stiff.
It's the cast from The Colour Purple.
Welcome.
We
well,
have
thanks.
Some
thanks
of them anyway.
Us.
It's yeah. Vanessa and Yops.
Yeah. Now, yes, I did go the other night and my word, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And it's going really, really well, isn't it?
Yeah. So good.
And it's I guess, you know, it's one of those which is rare for me and, and I know it's gonna be rare for Lulu, that I've actually read the book. And watched the movie and now the musical.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you do any of those? Had you read the book?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely part of the research. Yeah.
Oh, you hadn't already then? They said, oh, we're going to be doing this. Will you read the book?
Well, I did a scene from it at uni in drama school. So I had read the book then. And yeah, it was great fun. So to read it again was good.
School curriculum. So I'd read it when I was in high school.
I did as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was the same year as you. But it might be. Let's get Vanessa a little louder, I think. Yeah. What are your characters in this, in The Colour Purple? What are you
I play Sophia. Yeah.
And I play Harpo.
Right.
Yes.
Which is really, it was Oprah's role, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not yours.
Well, Harpo is Oprah spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Connection there.
There it is.
Yeah. Which is the name of Oprah's company, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Harpo Productions or whatever.
Yeah.
And what was that like? I mean, you went along for the audition. Did you have a role in mind that either of you wanted?
Yeah. Sophia, hands down.
That was it.
My role. That's what I wanted. She was an awesome character and strong and, you know, someone I completely admired ever since I read the book.
Yeah.
So,
I was just happy to be a bench, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be in the show. So it was a bonus that I got to play Harpo.
Yeah. I mean, when you go along and watch a musical and it's got its, you've got main roles, but there is a lead role, which is Seeley. And that young lady is amazing.
Yeah.
As much as I... Obviously, she is amazing. And, you know, there's bits of that where you think, oh, wow, she's running away with this. It really is one of those. It's an ensemble.
Yes.
And it's all about that when you watch this. And I think that's a lot to do with you being good, all of you.
Yeah.
But also to do with Robbie directing it
that
way. What was that like to work with Robbie Camelotti?
Well, this awful. Is my second time. Yeah, awful. Oh, gosh. Well, this is my second time of working with him. I worked with him in Hair.
Right.
And just coming along and doing this. I think, you know, from the moment I auditioned, I already had that kind of comforting feeling that, you know,
I'm going to get it. I know him.
Not at all. Not at all.
I don't even know why I'm auditioning. Yeah.
He wants me.
I'll just blame the color of my skin.
I auditioned and didn't get anything. What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I went for the main. You know, it's like weird.
No, but it was definitely a great experience to work with Robbie again, and, you know, kind of seeing, I guess, because the show is more of an acting based kind of show, whereas Hair was kind of like, you know, this kind of hippie vibe going on in the room. So to kind of, yeah, I don't know, I enjoyed it. I loved it.
He
definitely
director,
understood you know,
and he's been doing his research for so long.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he just gave it all to us, and constant, like, notes and support, everything for us to really grow into the characters.
Yes.
Definitely think
And that's evident. That really is evident when you go along and watch it.
Yeah.
Can I just say, for anyone who hasn't seen or hasn't read it or come whatever, what is it about? Let's just do that because...
Oh, gosh. What is it not about?
Okay. Just in case people are listening and thinking, I know I've heard it's something that Oprah did.
Which
and
there would be.
There will be. Definitely. And, you know, just so you can give a little bit of a taste for those who want to come along.
Well, it definitely focuses on the central character of Celie. Back in the 1930s, she kind of... the story starts off with her, you know, she's raped by her caregiver.
So it's an uplifting...
uplifting
comedy.
Yeah, definitely, comedy, you know. We kind of, you know, punch you in the face. No, but, you know, she goes through trials and tribulations of, you know, being separated from her sister and then reuniting with her in the end. Oh, I just wrecked it.
Oh.
Just ruined it. Oh, gosh.
Spoiler alert. Look, we're going to go to a little break and we'll be back because we want to obviously give details about where it's on, when it's on, and get more out of you. We'll be back right after this on Joy. Now, what was it like getting a message from Broadway?
Oh my gosh.
I woke up to it. I remember exactly. It was like 11:30. I woke up. Yes, I wake up at that time.
Right.
And I saw the video and I just cried.
Yeah.
I
died.
Cried. And I probably played it about 10 times for like... realizing that I was like, this is from Broadway.
Yeah.
It's a thing we watch as a cast before we do the show.
Because we're
just so happy.
Did you send one back?
Yeah.
Yes, we have. Yeah. It's not as good as theirs, but I know.
They probably don't know.
And I watched the one on Broadway, like a lot of, you know, and when I walked in, I wasn't ready to go, oh, I wonder if it's going to be any better or worse or whatever. You just, when you're in that venue, and you know, you just immediately just watch what you're watching.
Yeah.
And enjoy what you're watching. And that's why I was, you know, just look like at the end of when it ended, everybody just literally stood up immediately.
Yeah. And the stomping, we were shocked by that. We were like, they're stomping.
Well, we were angry. We were really angry. Furious. I'd spilled my drink.
Just days ago, something unusual happened in the music world.
Nobelpriset I litteratur.
Sorry, in English.
Bob Dylan has been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Ah.
For having created new poetic expressions.
We think it might have been a bit of a backroom deal.
I've done a backroom deal.
Have you?
Yep.
Yep, I bet you have.
Loved him.
Yep.
Lulu and Michael winning the Nobel Prize for...
having created...
malarkey on a Wednesday afternoon.
On Joy.
Well, I mean, that was amazing, him getting that though, wasn't it?
I didn't even hear about it.
What? You've got to be listening to the news.
Well, so much about Trump and Hillary that you just get to the point where you just listen to them and...
They've got one more debate, Trump and Hillary, and I just wonder why they're bothering.
Why? Yeah, because it's just getting silly now, isn't it?
I would imagine yes. And, you know, it doesn't mean she's definitely going to win. I mean, there's a lot that don't like her, but why, when that man is the way he is, why would you bother arguing with him?
I'd much rather watch the SNL version.
But he didn't like it, did he?
That's funny, though.
Hated it.
And actually, Hillary went on with What's Her Face, Catherine.
Yeah.
And did a bit of a joke. That's what you should do.
Exactly.
Just to show you got a sense of humour and make it fun.
Well, on that though, there was a lot that weren't that rapt about Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Prize for Literature because he is a songwriter. And then they were going, well, maybe I'll write a song now and win a prize, win a Grammy.
Oh, God.
I mean, but I get it. You know, it's a bit, but whatever. You know. Well,
I suppose in that way, there probably were other people that had written actual
literature,
novels.
Yeah. No, exactly.
That were probably hoping they'd win.
We're both about as learned as each other.
We weren't on the list of the novelists.
What would be your... Oh, no, actually, this is actually quite a good question in the sense that it could be about anything. What would be your specialist subject if you were going on Mastermind?
MasterChef, I thought you were going to say.
Soufflé. Toe to the hole.
If I was on Mastermind...
Yeah.
Is Mastermind, is that even on anymore?
No, but what would it be? That means you know a lot about it, doesn't it? Whatever it's going to be, your specialist.
Can it just
one.
Be entertainment?
Anything in the world. It could be about, anything.
Well, like if I'm playing Trivial Pursuit, I always go for the pink wedge. Is that what you mean?
I like a pink wedge. It's been a while, but just for variety.
Sometimes I go for the brown wedge.
Just by accident.
Which is arts and literature. Depends on the day, though.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes you can't help it.
Oh, you just
end up with a brown wedge.
I hate it when my... You're on Joy. Pink and brown.
You're listening to Lulu and Michael on Joy 94.9. I like to just pause a little bit when... I get pointed at, just to give Paul a little bit of panic in his eyes.
He's always got that in his eyes.
Oh, is that just natural?
It's really loud.
That's because you asked him for his headphones. He did it on purpose.
We've got guests, haven't we?
We have got guests. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, I don't know. I mean, really. I love it when we get guests.
Would you like me to introduce the Michael?
Would you?
I will.
In your best voice.
It's Johanna Allen and Josh Pitterman from The Light in the Piazza.
Welcome.
Hi, how are you guys?
Intro music, I like it.
Intro applause for you, Johanna.
I'm very appreciative.
I believe it's for all. I mean, really.
No, don't tell him that. It's just for me.
All right.
She is very splendid.
Yeah, one of those leading lady ones.
He's Josh Pitterman. Everyone knows him. I could do a little extra, you know?
Oh, well, I believe you're a little bit well known. Weren't you just in the Sound of Music?
I certainly was.
Now,
my mother abused it.
Well, there you go.
In fact.
Did Josh?
No,
absolutely
he did
not. I went for Maria. And I got down...
Like a lot of men.
Yeah. We have heard she's a bit like that.
Damn Amy La Palma.
Now, you are in, though, to talk about the light in the piazza.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes. I mean, we always ask our guests if they're in something, they'll know more about it than we could ever imagine. What is it about?
Opening
one.
Okay. It's a magnificent story. It sort of blends opera, musical theatre and play together, and it is the story of two young lovers, Clara and Fabrizio. Despite cultural difference and lack of language, they fall in love, and it's what happens after that.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
And there is so much drama and so many different loves going on. It's kind of like the cycle of life and the cycle of love. So you see love in different aspects with different characters and different relationships, and that's always very interesting to see on stage. But the music, I think, is probably the most beautiful music I've heard in music theatre since Hammerstein.
There you go. Right. Said here.
And I guess
live. It
is one of those ones that isn't done very often.
Yeah.
But
never done. First time in Australasia we've had a professional production happening.
Right.
Mm. And it won 6 Tonys on Broadway 10 years ago. So it's
That happens a lot lately, I find, in Australia. They're starting to just sort of get these ones that are, you know, not done as much, which I'm loving.
Yeah.
It's great.
The reason people are sort of discouraged from Piazza is because it is incredibly complex musically.
Oh, is that what we do? We just shorten it?
with Piazza.
Yeah,
so hashtag Piazza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now we're in the know. Yeah.
We couldn't even go to hashtag P.
Well, were you in the music?
I was in the music. I was in the music. The som.
Sound.
Yeah, I was nun, y'all, som. Yeah, all of that.
The Piazza.
Yeah.
I was in that musical Cat.
Yeah. Just one.
Just one.
Just one doing some work in a unitard. Anyway, where was I? Yes. The Light in the Piazza is complex musically and dramatically, and it's and yet it retains an intimacy. It's essentially a two-hander, and then you have a story surrounding it about two families. So, you know, that's...
Well, don't tell Chelsea Plumley that, because, boy, is she wonderful as Margaret, who's...
She's wonderful.
A character that is so
She drives full the show.
She drives
the
show.
Does she think it's a one-woman show?
Yeah. Well, no, not at all. She's just not. She's just so wonderful in it.
Oh, like, sorry. No.
I can't call it two-handed because she's just the most magnificent thing to watch. You know, I've worked with Chelsea a little bit before, but this is
we love Chelsea here. That's why I said.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it's one of those roles that she really wanted to get.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not. You know, you all audition for gigs and we get them. We don't get them. Whatever. Mm. But it's one of those roles in that, you know, in the piazza that she really wanted to do.
I think your heart is always in some more than others because they speak to you and you can't help but love it with everything you have. And I believe that is the case, and she is doing it justice and then some.
We're here with the cast, or some of the cast of The Lash.
Not all of them. Didn't want them all.
No, just the good ones.
Rubble.
The Lash in the Piazza. We've got Josh Pitterman and Johanna.
Johanna? I'm becoming more and more European by the second. It's
She's
Johanna.
Johanna.
Jawohl.
I was going to do the German, is it?
Well, it's actually Polish, but Polish? You know, don't mention the war and all that. Johanna. But I really
brought it up.
I did, didn't I? Apparently.
Now, who else is in this?
We are blessed with a tremendous cast. The gorgeous Genevieve Kingsford plays Clara. Anton Berezin plays my husband. We've worked together on the Green Show Wicked, and now we're reunited.
Great.
As we said, Chelsea Plumley is incredible as Margaret. Who
Jonathan Hicks plays Fabrizio.
Fabrizio.
And I don't think Melbourne Stages has seen Jonathan yet, and I think they're going to be so thrilled to
see. He's a young man, isn't he?
Young man with a gorgeous voice.
He looks about 11.
Oh, yeah, together they're so beautiful.
Yeah, the two
lovers.
Of them.
He's not 11.
He's not 11.
A bit
he's
older
12.
Than that.
Yeah. He's 22, maybe 23. I'm going to guess at that.
That is, he's almost totally made that up.
He's young.
Absolutely astonishing. And then our creative team.
We're so lucky.
Yeah,
we've mentioned about that Lifelike Touring, which this is their
third,
isn't it?
Yeah, so they had Passion 2 years ago, City of Angels last year. Both had rave reviews and both were exquisite pieces.
I watched them both and loved them both. And
they forge in such interesting directions as a company.
It is amazing.
Yeah, and I personally vote for women and all of that. I'm thrilled that we have a female team. We have the incredible Teresa Borg as our director, we have Vanessa Scammell as MD, and we have Joanne Robinson as our choreographer.
Yeah.
And that's a rare thing in music theatre.
Very rare thing.
Did they demand it that way?
They
all women or you'll forget it.
I don't know that it was demanded, but it's worked out.
No, but it certainly enables the romance to be such a strong driver. I think that's an incredible thing.
Yes. Yeah. And which is what this is all about.
Exactly. Mm. Beautiful romance.
We are
life,
ready.
Art.
We are ready for
romance.
This.
It's magnificent. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah.
When I go with you,
you can add a little bit of rap in, but still not enough for me, Delta.
I like that.
Nah.
No, you don't like it. it is Joy with Lulu and Michael, and we're criticising Delta.
Of course.
Which Australia does a lot, I reckon. But we've got a guest in, haven't we, Lulu?
We sure have.
And boy, are we ready. This man's voice is incredible. I love this man's voice. Not only when he speaks, but more, even more, when he sings. And his name is Michelangelo.
It's very good to be here.
He's actually a soprano.
I am. I have a deep speaking voice and a very high singing voice.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
I have no opinion on Delta whatsoever.
No. Well, that's not good either then, is it, really?
Yeah, I'm literally wedged between you two.
I mean, she's got a great voice. I mean, whether you like the music or not.
Great. Yeah.
Look, not everyone can be blessed with the talents of this team here. I think you guys just need to cut them a little bit of slack. She's trying her best.
We are a triple threat, but not on our own.
Yeah.
You know, we have to all get together.
Yeah, can we get some?
Put us in a clown suit and give it. Put us in a clown suit and give us a machete. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's it.
That sounds like
now,
fun.
Now, where's your origins? Where did you begin with your music journey?
You're talking my musical journey. I think my musical journey began with my mother singing me old gunfighter ballads and bushranger songs when I was like 1 year old and reading me William Blake poems. And,
real Aussie then?
Well, Aussie, and she's English and my dad's Croatian, but she my favourite songs as a kid were, when I'm talking like 2 years old. Which I can actually remember, were Wild Colonial Boy, she used to sing me, and also The Streets of Laredo, which is a beautiful song that I sometimes sing now that Johnny Cash has done. A lot of people sing. It's actually an old 16th century English song originally. Right. So I guess it's a lovely thought of being lulled by the unaccompanied melodies of your mother singing to you about young men dying in desperate circumstances. She set the tone. Exactly. She thought, I'm going to give this boy proper nursery rhymes.
Yeah. See, my dad always sang to me. He can't sing in tune. He's tone deaf, but he sang all the country and western songs and played all Johnny Cash and everything else, which I still love.
Oh, yeah.
And it was either that or rugby songs.
I'd go Johnny Cash.
I think I would.
Yeah.
But up there, Kazali, you know, it's got its rousing ways. I only like to hear it about once every 2 decades.
Yeah, that's it.
Now,
but they do tell a good story, the old country songs. That's the thing about them. They tell a great story.
Yeah, they come out of the foundation of older music, of music as a storytelling style, and that's part of what, in my own way, I fit into now. And sometimes I'm playing with a band and it's upbeat. Other times it's me and my guitar. But it's a way that the music is supporting a story.
You write your own music as well, don't you?
I do. That's what I usually do, and it's really nice to have a break from my own stuff to play some of the songs of artists that helped shape me as a teenager and helped set me on my path.
And again, like artists like
the show I'm down here doing.
Yep.
Cave, Waits, Cohen. So Nick Cave, Tom Waits, and Leonard Cohen. Talking about triple threat.
What a happy bunch.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because I sometimes get that response. And you know, I think this show and the way I put it together, it's actually quite humorous, full of light and joy.
Well, you are as well.
And those dudes certainly got some heavy songs, but I think they all have humor. And sometimes people get it and sometimes they don't. When you don't get it, you think they're just being dark. But actually, they're often laughing at themselves or at life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's all a matter of the choice of songs as well. And so for me, I've put together a show that has a big emotional spread and where you can...
I love a big emotional spread.
I just open it wide. The accidental double entendre is flowing.
Big emotional spread. I'm coming in.
What am...
Oh, darling, you're just ruining my art.
You did it, I'm sorry.
That's it. You don't have to do much, I tell you.
I know. It's like all the jokes are already here in the air. I didn't invent any of them. I'm just a vessel.
We just picked them like apples.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were falling into our laps.
One of my favourite songs, well, one of my daughter's favourite songs when she was three is A Boy Named Sue.
Oh, great.
And it still is now. She's 12. But that's one of, there are plenty of those songs that they have that are funny.
Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Once you also understand the hardships of life, you're able to... truly laugh, you know, like, because when you laugh, you go, that's funny, and I don't care about anything else now. You know, it's all of our lives are full of
ups and downs. Do you think that you need a life, you know, with misery to be able to write good emotional, you know?
I actually don't, but I believe that all of us, no matever where you're born and what we all have, our challenges for us are the hardest things we're ever going to face. So, you know, so for us, it might be something that to someone else, they go, why is he even upset about that? But it's our thing that we have to conquer, whether
it's
our parents' expectation of us or whether it's you actually, you know, growing up in a third world country, they can be equally hard. When people say to me, oh, that guy's just rich, he's got it so easy, I think, man, I'm so glad I wasn't born with the expectation of a super wealthy family. That, you know, it's so simplistic to think that guy's got it made. Yeah, he's got cash.
I don't think I agree. I wish. I'd like to have been.
No, I believe actually, if I was born into it, I would have been a great philanthropist, supporting the arts and those in suffering.
No, you have it.
I like the way this interview is taking turns. Are you talking about emotional spread?
That's it.
Now, you've got gigs on the way, and we'll give those out at the end. But we're not having you in here without getting you to sing.
I'm here to sing for you, my friend.
Love.
If you feel any need to chorus in with backing vocals or slapping your thighs, go right ahead. I've hand chosen this Tom Waits song for you. Particularly, it felt like it'd be a nice, upbeat, fun song that actually is fitting very nicely out of our conversation. So it's called Going Out West, and it goes a little bit like this. Hey, 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 well, I'm going out west where the wind blows tall. 'Cause Tony Franciosa used to date my ma. They got some money out there, they're giving it away. I tell ya, I'm gonna do what I want and I'm gonna get paid.
do what I want, and I'm gonna get paid. Cause I know karate, voodoo too. I'm gonna make myself available to you. I don't need no makeup, I got real scars. I got a hair on my chest. I look good without a shirt. Hey. Well, I don't lose my composure in a high-speed chase. And all my friends, yeah, they say I got a masculine face. That's right. I got some drag strip courage. I can really drive a bed. I'm gonna change my name to Hannibal, or maybe just Rex. Change my name to Hannibal, or maybe just Rex. Cause I know karate, voodoo too. Gonna make myself available to you. I don't need no makeup, I got real scars. I got a hair on my chest. I look good without a shirt. I'm gonna drive all night and get some speed. Hey, 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 hey. I'm gonna wait for the sun to shine down on me. It feels so good. Hey, cut a hole in my hood, it's the shape of a heart. And I'm going out west where they appreciate me. Going out west where they appreciate me. Cause I know karate, voodoo too. Ha! Gonna make myself available to you. I don't need no makeup, I got real scars. I got hair on my chest. And I'm going out west.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Love it. Love it.
Dovetailed nicely with the fact that they've got a bit of humour.
Oh, yes.
That's very funny.
Because everyone knows Tom Waits have a shaved chest, obviously.
Of course. Now, where are these gigs, Lulu?
Well, there's three you can go to all this weekend. There's one in Kyneton on Friday night. Saturday night's at the Satellite Lounge in Wheelers Hill. And Sunday is at the Flying Saucer Club in Elstonwick.
That's right. Hitting the regions and the burbs this time is going to be fun. Kyneton Music Festival's got a great lineup.
Yeah, massive. Who else is on at that?
Well, I'm part of the opening night party on the Friday night, myself and Liz Stringer. But then on Saturday, they've got Henry Wagons and a whole lot of great Melbourne performers. And it's lovely the way that, you know, you kind of can point in any direction out of Melbourne and there's great towns and they've all got music venues.
It's amazing, isn't it? Getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's good.
And what about the other ones? Are the other gigs, are you on your own or whether you've got a band?
I do this show Au Naturel on my own, and it's a really nice way to approach songs that you're used to hearing with a band. Yeah, that's
naked.
Right. Yeah, I come out on stage and I say, Cave, Waits, Cohen, Michelangelo, welcome into my arms.
There you go.
You know, it's an embracing show. And the lovely thing is people come out feeling like, I get some people coming and say, I don't actually like those artists, but when I come and see you do it, I really love it. And I get other people saying, I love those artists, but you've made me feel like I'm hearing the songs again for the first time. Well, and exactly, I think that's the thing of not trying to copy them. I'm singing them in my own style. And that's my tribute is, hey guys, thanks for helping me find my own voice, because they're all such unique artists. That was the best wind-up I have ever gotten in showbiz history.
He's very subtle.
He does it to all our guests.
He does it to us. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
You're on Joy with Lulu and Michael.
Oh, why does she need to be dried out?
You were making me laugh there, just looking into space.
Dry me out,
baby.
Dry me out.
Because I don't know what's going on with her.
Oh, my Lord. What about Madonna?
What about her?
Oh, 86 tomorrow. No, she's won another award, isn't she?
No, she hasn't yet.
Oh, she hasn't got it?
Not yet. She's up for Billboard's 2016 Woman of the Year.
I bet they've given it, though. They've given it out. As in they've mentioned it.
Well, you know, the thing is, right?
Yeah.
The reason she got it, they say, for Billboard says, is because of her creative vision, her relentless innovation, and her dedication to
philanthropic.
And she's an inspiration to hundreds of millions of people around the world.
Hundreds of millions? That might be a bit much.
All while shattering every career record out there. She's an important feminist on top of that.
a one-of-the-kind artist who's used to her influence to change the conversation around women's sexuality and equal rights.
I mean, I agree with a little bit of that.
But apparently the reason she got it was because she would turn up. Well, someone on one of the morning shows that I was watching said...
Sonia Kruger again.
No, it wasn't Sonia Kruger. Oh. It was one of the music people
who
said...
Who judged that woman like?
It was one of the music people said that the reason why she got it was because she'd turn up. Because what happens is that they go, oh, look, we just need someone who's going to turn up because we have to have them at the awards.
Oh, my, that's
And
nonsense.
Everyone else is too busy.
Oh, no way.
Because you look at what she's actually done in 2016 and she hasn't done a lot.
No, but it's the year that she's given the award, but it's for your body of work.
Yeah, but her body's not looking that good. No,
it needs a bit more work.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I mean, she's amazing though, isn't she? I've always liked Madonna.
I have always liked her until I met her, and then I'm not that fussed.
You did a gig at Madonna's, her birthday?
It was a going away party. Right.
And she was nice, wasn't she?
She was all right. She was a bit weird.
The money was good.
There was no money.
Oh, what? Because I don't know what's going on with her.
Michael, I forgot to ask you before. You were asking me about Mastermind, and if I had to pick a subject that I would be an expert in, what would it be?
I remember.
What was yours?
I would imagine it would be Dolly.
Dolly Diamond.
No! Although I do know a little bit about her. But no, Miss Parton.
Really?
Yeah.
Like everything?
No. Well, no, because what you do when you're on there is you're allowed to narrow it down, you know. Between the years of, you know, and then
so
they...
So it's not like what is the measurement of her waist?
No.
No?
Because that would be ridiculous. Because that goes up and down, doesn't it? It's not like one measurement for the rest of her, you know, from beginning to end.
Okay.
Well, it is one measurement from beginning to end, but you know what I mean. And, well, what would yours be?
My waist.
Do you think I would ever ask that? As I went through my bloody cupboard like a couple of days ago, I thought, oh, I'm never going to wear that. And there's like some in there that are like a 29-inch waist. You might as well play the music from some horrible horror film.
Some people in there with a 29-inch waist.
There may as well be, because I can wear them again. You know, I was looking for ones that were slightly medium because I've gone back to the gym and, you know, a little bit of weight's come off and I thought, oh, maybe I'll wear those. Try them on. Oh, no.
Do you know what I've done? I've just got rid of all those old ones.
No, because mine goes up and down like a friggin' yo-yo.
Yeah, same, but then I quite like going shopping.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then you go, oh, I've lost weight. I can go shopping.
I reckon elastic should be in everything, you know? I don't know why it isn't.
We've gone off topic. If you...
Who is yours? What would you do if you're a mastermind?
I actually think maybe Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
isn't
random.
That weird?
Yeah.
It is a bit because I've written...
An
award-winning actor.
No.
Yes, thespian. No, it's because I was writing a screenplay about him and I had to research about all his old films.
Right.
But all of them are old, really.
Yeah, it's not done anything in a while,
new. Well, he's doing a new one.
I mean, he's one of those that I've enjoyed watching the movies.
Yeah.
But he's not the best actor.
No, well, that's the thing. And that's why I picked him for this screenplay, because I liked the fact that he wasn't.
Mm.
And it will soon come out on you. No, it's not. But, yeah, I had to research all his movies. So I know quite a lot about him. And I used to be able to say all the lines from Speed word for word.
Wow.
I know, because actually when I was in Spain with my friend, it was on TV and it was in Spanish, and she's going, oh, we can't watch it. And I went, no, we can.
Oh, no.
I can just...
translate it.
I can translate it. She went, yeah. And she was like, oh, my God, this is the best ever. I'm actually able to watch it. And she reckons it was the best thing ever, and she just laughed all the way through it because I just did all the voices.
I think I would have. Now, what about you behind there on the mic?
Oh, gee, I can remember phone numbers. That's not much of a skill.
No one can check that.
No, and I can do
unless we ring them up.
Margaret's phone number
97872.
Yeah, what is her mobile number?
I can't remember.
I've started, so I'll finish. What is her? No, I mean, is that it?
No, I can
that's
do,
like something that you have if you're Asperger's.
I can do Simpsons voices. That's a good
poetry. Yeah. Well, no, all right.
No.
Oh my God! Not really. Totally different skills to what we're asking for.
I love the fact that song's been playing for like 3 minutes. You still don't know what he's saying.
It's actually kind of nice. I'm sorry for ruining it. It's Lulu and Michael, and we're at the end, aren't we?
We are. It's gone quite fast today.
Yes, loads of great guests.
We did have a lot of guests.
More next week, obviously. Obs.
Hashtag obs.
And next week is our last episode.
Last episode of the show.
Yes.
For, who knows?
We don't know. We can have a little break. You're off to do Avenue Q.
I'm going to Perth, folks.
And so that means join us next week for our last one.
Yeah, go on. Dare ya.
Yeah, maybe a nice little message would be good.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Or wine.
You've been listening to a Lulu and Michael podcast. Listen live every Wednesday afternoon from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.